Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hej och välkommen till Denko Berns. Idag är det jag, Fredrik Berns, som spelar in. Jag har träffat Nico på Beyond Horology podcast och vi har spelat in ett crossover-avsnitt, alltså ett avsnitt som sänds både i podcasten Beyond Horology och här på Denko Berns. Nico, han har varit deltagare och även sponsor i OVG, så vi pratar mycket om OVG, vad som hände under, före eller efter OVG. Men vi pratar också om det som ligger Nico väldigt varmt om hjärtat, och det är olika nordiska märken, klockmärken. Lite mindre entusiastiska ägare eller grundare. Och vi pratar om våra egna upplevelser under mars månad. Eftersom Nicos podd är på engelska så kommer vi också spela in allting på engelska. Därför, Denko Berns, första avsnittet på engelska.
Hello watch nerds and welcome back. You're listening to Beyond Horology podcast, and today we talk to Fredrik Berns from One Watch Guy March. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today? A little bit early today again?
Yeah, I'm fine. it's good to be back and nice to talk to you. So I'm really looking forward to this today.
Before we start the podcast, you have news for us. Can you tell me about your new podcast?
Right. Well, me and my friend, my dear friend Denke from Sweden, we have started a new podcast called Denke and Berns. We started just a few weeks ago and have released 3 or 4 episodes and have actually done a few more that is coming out very soon. I'm really excited. I think it could be a good mix between the two of us. We have good discussions and also meet a lot of interesting people. So it's good. Really interesting.
You're very like-minded people, and also you're both, probably I shouldn't say that, but you're both veterans in the, especially Denki, in the podcast space. So it, and you have a very good chemistry. So I really like, I've listened now to everything that has come out, and I'm excited for what's coming next.
Well, we have a few nice, really nice episodes coming. We're going to release this podcast that we are recording today in a few weeks. And by then, I think already episodes with Hublot is released, perhaps one with Cartier. But we also have some watch enthusiasts that we have done interviews with, as well as Barnaby's. It is like a search engine for auctions. And we discussed their report for the previous years and the habits of both watch nerds, but all kind of nerds in the auction world. So that's really interesting to you. And I have to say, Denke, he has such a great experience. When I look at his resume, he's a founder of Watch Forum, Watch Site, magazines, and a lot of things. He wrote a lot of books. Mm? So it's really, really fun to work with him. Inspiring was the word I was looking for. So that is the new project, and I'm really excited. It's fun, a lot of fun. And
looking forward, man.
Thank you. Well, can I ask you? Can we do a wrist check straight now in the beginning of the podcast, just to make sure that we don't miss that?
Yes. I'm known for missing that. Thank you for pointing this out. I am wearing a beautiful Ando A1. It's a Finnish micro brand, a very new Finnish micro brand from Helsinki, I have to say it's very quirky. There is a particular Seiko model that this one looks like, but it's much smaller. It's 37 millimeter. But even I, with my 7.25 inch wrist, I feel at home with this watch. It's automatic. It's a day date window. Very nicely framed. Very good quality for the price. And I have it on Karu, Finnish Marina Nationale style strap from Salkkari. This strap has been on my wrist now probably 8-9 months and on a quite regular basis. And I have to say, it has not lost any colors. Yeah, it's quite beaten up the hardware, but elasticity, I prefer this any day over Eriko's original, because Eriko original is not really an elastic strap. It's so stiff and uncomfortable. This is totally different anymore. So, and I have to mention that this is a brand that took part in One Watch Guy challenge. And I like to support such small brands that create something out of passion.
Yeah. I have to add, I had the opportunity to look at a few of these watches. And you mentioned the day date, and it's also a kanji. I mean, it's also in Japanese language or signs, which is really interesting, because this is a cooperation between a Finnish and a Japanese family, right?
Exactly.
And if I remember correctly, I read that the name is actually their last name, and there are three in the family, so Ando.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah, it's a really nice watch. It's when you wear it, you look really smart, like you're an architect or some kind of designer or something.
It has
like
this vibe of a yes. Who is that guy?
Exactly.
And I mean, and Uwe, the owner, he's such a nice guy. I mean, we are now preparing a podcast with him. Such a humble and down to earth guy who has such a passion. He has over 100 watches.
Oh,
interesting that he told me that when he buys a watch, he buys the watch with the idea to put it apart and understand the concept, understand the design. So he's such a hungry to learn guy that wants to grow, and like the passion is just contagious. When you talk the watches with him, it's just contagious. I really like to meet such people with such a burning passion for horology.
That's nice. Makes me happy to hear. I have a watch. I don't really know so much about it. It's a Yema. I don't know what the model is called, but I'm actually going on a vacation trip later today. So I asked my friend Denke if I could borrow a watch from him, so I don't have to scratch my own. No, not like that. No, I only have old watches, and they can't handle water and so on. Denke is more into new watches. He gave me this Yema, which is a really nice one. It's a diving style of a watch with a blue bezel and a blue dial. I would say it's sort of a mix between Elise Nadine, is that what it's called? Or and Blancpain. It's sort of a mix between the two brands built into this Yema watch. Really nice, and it fits me really nice on the wrist. So I'm very happy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun to try it on, swimming and diving and so on. We'll see if it can handle it.
But now you get another 10 to 15 days One Watch Guy challenge again.
Exactly.
On your trip.
Right. That's
Yeah. But back to UVG Mars, One Watch Guy March. Let's remind the listeners in few sentences what One Watch Guy March is.
Yeah. Okay, so One Watch Guy is a challenge. Challenge amongst us watch nerds, or perhaps mostly for the one that are constantly changing between their watches, buying and selling and changing watches maybe more than one or two times a day. This is a challenge to make you sort of appreciate the watches you have and sort of stop a little bit and really, really use one of the watches for a longer time. It's sometimes a little bit boring during the challenge, but a big reward when you're through out on the other side now in April. For me, it is a way of rediscovering your own watches. They feel like they're new again, and you can really enjoy them like the first day you actually put them on. So it's a good challenge in that sense.
And rediscover who you are in your journey as a collector.
Maybe it's something
hopefully
like that. But I would also, I try to put this challenge, it's actually three parts, I would say. The challenge is first, of course, for the watch owners, the enthusiasts. But there are two more parts of it. It is also a charity collection where they try to raise funds for a charity organization. And there are different charity organizations every year. This year, we were supporting Maskros Barn. It's a child right organization in Sweden that is supporting children that grows up with like unsecured situations where you have perhaps mental illness in the family or drinking problem or other thing like abuse and so on. And this organization gives them a safe place for example, during summer and school vacations and so on. So this is a really important part, the charity part. But there is a third part that actually grew really strong on me as well. And it is that to raise money, we ask different companies, sponsors, to donate products. Product that then we can sell tickets for a raffle to give away these products. And by that, gather money for the charity. But these organizations are actually really, really important because we try to pick companies that is within the watch industry, but driven by enthusiasm and enthusiasts. And not pick the big ones, but the smaller ones that actually could benefit from some publicity and get to know more people in the organization or in the branch. So I think that is an important part of the whole OVG or One Watch Guy challenge.
The community enthusiasm this year was amazing, unbelievable. I have to say the atmosphere in the watch forums and Instagram was, I would suggest, better than last year even, because it was more international, more countries were involved, more people, more cultures were involved. How can you compare this to previous years as an organizer?
I agree that this was the best year so far. And it's the whole initiative with the One Watch Guy is growing every year. It grows in different directions, and you cannot really predict how it will grow. I thought this year I will have more forums engaged and to have... we have a really strong commitment in the Swedish watch forum, Klocksnack. Last year we also had the same in Norwegian forum Tidzonen, and I was looking for more forums, perhaps international forums like Omega Forum or Rolex Forum or stuff like that. But that didn't happen. Actually, Tidzonen, the commitment from them were much less this year. But instead, we could attract watch enthusiasts from other parts, like Facebook groups and people that were not actually involved in forum or Facebook or any activities like that. So by that, it was spreading in a completely new direction, which was fascinating. And what we tried to do, we actually started already last year, we tried to move some of the actions into Instagram instead. And we also have a web page that we try to publish all the rules and regulations, but more important, the prize tables for the raffles and so on. By this, I think it's grown dynamically and in a good way. And as you said, I tried to involve more people this year. I have been running this not 100% by myself. It's actually me and one more guy doing all the admin behind. But this year I tried to take in more people because people likes to help and it's part of the community to do it together. So that is something I learned this year, to bring in more people.
There was a whole new level of interaction on Glocksnack. There was a new element involved, the memes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
It's not, I have to say, it's not always appreciated by the owner of that forum. Sometimes they think it's too much, I don't know, non-watch topics. So they sometimes tell us to keep it more focused on watches and not so much on the, I don't know, Batman memes. But it's fun. It has to be a mix.
But at the same time, I think forums are, I know that they have to be monetized, they have to make some kind of income, but the atmosphere keeps the people in the forum. So in the long term, you will make your money at some way or another. So let people be themselves, let people have fun, because that will make them stay, stay involved.
I agree. And I like to think that even though it's a lot of perhaps not relevant information and discussions, it also drives a lot of traffic to the forums. It gives them, they becomes relevant, and that is in the long run a good thing for them as well. And I think they agree on that.
Forums, I don't know, will probably never be as good as Facebook or TikTok.
No, maybe.
In terms of relevance. So to keep these people in the forum, engaged, involved, excited about what they do in the forum, it's not an easy task.
I realized that different countries maybe, or different parts of the world, uses this in a different way. I mean, in Sweden, the forums are really, really strong. And I would say in Finland, they're almost non-existing. Is that right? The activities are still there, but in on different platforms. And you have to realize that it's different in different parts. I don't know. I can't really say why forum is so strong in Sweden, but perhaps it's just a tradition that it has been good for some times and so on. Norway is like 50-50. I think the Facebook groups are really strong there. The forums are okay. So
I think it's stronger on Facebook in Norway.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, and it's good to realize that. I didn't realize that. I thought everything was like in Sweden. So sometimes it's good to have an eye-opener and see that behavior are different. So it's good. We try to drive this Instagram with, on each Friday during the challenge, we have this raffle where we have all the prizes from all sponsors. We sell tickets to these raffles, and all the money go directly into the charity site. These raffles were then broadcast live on Instagram. It was done in a very non-professional way. It was done correctly, 100% correctly, of course, but it also part of this. It's not super commercial, it's not super professional, but it's all done with a lot of love and a lot of enthusiasm. And I think this was an important part as well. It felt like it was a happening that was and is accurate and genuine. And I just want to tell that I don't think anyone suspect anything different, but in this case, all money, 100% and more, went to charity. I can just say all the costs that we have, it's not much, but the cost we have all paid from our own pockets, and all income is donated directly into the charity collection page. So and with that, I'm really, really proud that there is no one making money on One Watch Guy. There's no upside on anyone's side, except from the charity side, of course. And that is super important, and it's important, it's so pure. And if I would start to sort of charge sponsors or take a fee for entrance and take that for myself, it will die within 1 year. It wouldn't survive. This is the only way I think this could actually happen.
I want to say huge respect, and I know how much this took out of your life and energy. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Absolutely. I mean, I spend a lot of time with all the administration behind and trying also to mitigate if there's a risk of getting into bad discussions or someone feeling it's not fair and so on, to make sure everyone feel that it's correct, everything is done correctly. Especially when there's a lot of nice fancy prizes getting people's attention, it's very important everything is done correctly. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time every day on this, but it gives you a lot of energy as well. And it's also for limited of time. So when March is over, it's really nice to feel that you've done everything you could for that period.
I would say you have done everything you could, because I was watching you answering questions and participating in the forum. I don't know how you did it, man. I really don't know how you did it.
You
haven't slept for 31 days, basically.
No, it wasn't that bad. The best part is that even though I, of course, participate myself, I don't really have time to think about my watch. So there's too much to do with the work around it. Then I didn't have time, even if I wanted to change watch and so on. So that challenge part is quite easy for me during this month.
And the goal of the challenge was met, and even twice over. Can you talk about that?
I looked at last year. I think we managed to get in 125,000 Swedish. That'd be 12,000-13,000 euro. And I thought it was quite an exceptional year last year. So to be not, I don't know, shooting over the target, I was putting the target for 100,000 Swedish, like 10,000 euro. But we ended up when 100 was done really quickly after 1 week or so. And then we managed to get another 100. So we ended in just over 200,000 Swedish. It's amazing.
It's wonderful. What do you think it was different this year in general from previous years?
We learn a lot. We learn that it's good to be very clear on the rules. And to start with, there is a starting fee that is voluntary. You can pay, or you don't have to pay the starting fee. This wasn't clear the years before, and it created some friction for some members, I think, or some participants. When it comes to the raffles, how to buy lotteries and how to view the actual raffle and who is going to be the winner and so on, I think we did it much, much better this year. And also sign up routine was much better this year. So we tried to make it easier to understand and follow, so it's no surprises for anyone. It's clear. Then with surprises, we can also, we did some extra good surprises, but that is only in a good thing, not bad surprises. As an example, since the last Friday and the raffle, after the last Friday's raffle, it was still, I think, 5 or 6 days to go before the month ended. And to keep up the spirit, we founded a special prize committee that was assigning prizes to special behaviors or if you completed something or did something good for the whole community. And this was also important. I had some sponsors that donated prizes. I put together this jury and they decided by themselves. I was not involved at all in this. And it was important to bring in more people to help me out, but also to be part of the organization. And this was then broadcasted in Clubhouse. So we used Clubhouse as one channel as well during whole March. So yeah, we tried to do it in different ways.
Fantastic. Did you miss anything in your watch in terms of functionality or anything else for the 31 days? You said already that you were you had no time to focus on it, but still.
Little bit, yeah. Well, I had to admit something. I'm not that used with new watches. This was a brand new watch. Most of the time I have only old vintage stuff. I put on this really brand new watch. It was shiny and nice, and I posted some nice picture. And then the owner of Bragdur, he called me, or he wrote me and said, "Please, Fredrik, you have to take away the plastic from the watch." It turned out I felt so stupid. I didn't really realize that. Oh, it's still on with plastic on. So that was funny. But after that, I felt like I felt really comfortable with it. I do, as I normally always have it on a bracelet. I missed that a little bit. It would have been nice to have it on a bracelet, but with that rubber, it worked out well. So in that sense, it was nice.
And on a canvas.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And it looks very beautiful on a black canvas. Wow. There is a new strap coming from Seleguin. Two-piece seatbelt NATO. That strap is phenomenal. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I actually spoke with Leonard from Seleguin yesterday. He was one of the sponsors, and he has done a really interesting journey with his watch design and everything. So it was nice chat with him, actually.
Yeah, he and Ando, and I would say E.C. Anderson, Moonchard, they're those brands that are so burning for their craft, and they're so enthusiastic and deep in the rabbit hole of love for watches. It's contagious. It's so, when I talk to Leonard, it's like he's a world of knowledge. You won't believe how much he knows about watches. And such people, when they come with a watch, it's something good. I personally bought the Seleguin Draken, full retail price, no discounts, no anything. It's one of the best watches I've ever had.
I mean, if we want to talk a little bit about the sponsors, it's really nice because we have a huge amount of different Nordic watch providers and a lot of help from you. I am really grateful for that. They enter with the different prices on different levels. We have like the main sponsor, that was Franks Ur. They donated prices for around 5,000 euros. That's a lot of money. We have had sponsors that is not related to the watch community, which is also really nice.
It was an axe?
Yeah, that was nice. It was from Gränsfors Bruk in Sweden. They donated actually two axes.
I wanted that axe.
Yeah, me too.
Believe or not.
It cost a lot of attention.
Because what they do, that's a quality stuff.
Yeah,
they are known for...
And the blacksmith that actually... produced that specific axe has his initial on that axe as well. So it's yeah, it's signed thing. This sponsor, as well as Primus, that comes with
camping gear.
Camping, yeah, they came thanks to KS Explorers Club, which is a group of watch enthusiasts that uses their watches out in the nature for hiking and diving. And so this, I think, was really smart. The sponsors got access to the correct, I mean, a group of people that is the perfect one for their products, but still a new angle of it. So it was really nice. And I would say also, we actually had a hotel that called me up and said, hey, we want to be a part of this. Manager, he's a watch enthusiast, so he was participating himself, so that's why. But I like this. And there's one more brand that I would like to bring up. They were not so active this year, but last year, and it is Malm Watches. Malm Watches with Marcus Malm in Linköping. He's a super guy. I really like him, and his product is nice. I like that.
Yes.
And then finally, if I could bring one more sponsor that made a difference, it was our friends up in the north of Sweden from Kiruna, Tidlös.
Yeah.
Shall we talk a little bit about the price?
They killed the fish.
Yeah, that was funny. When I talked to them the first time, I explained what it was all about, and they said, well, let me think a little bit. He called me back one day later and said, listen, Fredrik, we don't want to donate four prizes. We want to donate one prize, but we want it to be a good one. And just to recap the actual prize, it was the winner had to pick, got to pick one watch from their collection. But the real prize, or the real difference, was that this prize was given out in the Ice Hotel in Jukkasjärvi. So they also included a flight from Stockholm Arlanda up to Kiruna and the transportation out to Jukkasjärvi. After that, they are supposed to go by helicopter and land on top of Kebnekaise, that is the highest mountain of Sweden, go back down to Kiruna, have a big dinner and a stay over at the hotel, and then back to Arlanda the day after. So the winner of this prize, I don't know if they have planned a date yet, but it will happen now within a month or so. He promised me that we will do an episode with him afterward, so we can, yeah. But I like this. Tidlös guys, they sometimes they are criticized for the product, but I like the enthusiasm and the craziness that they bring into the business. It's a lot of fun, I would say.
Well, they still sell because I see their watches everywhere. So yeah. Good or bad, they're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Shall we do some reflection? What did we learn about us and about our watches, about the watch during that month?
Can I ask you as a participant, what was your reflection if you start in that part?
Yes, sure. I knew that I would manage the whole challenge because charity is very important for me personally. As I said on our previous episode together, charity has been part of our family life for over 15 years now. We give to charity every month. It's part of our life. So I knew that I will manage the challenge in general. Besides, the watch I had on my wrist was not a boring watch. It was expensive watch, interesting watch. So it was rather easy. But what surprised me was that I didn't want to think about other watches. I didn't want to tease myself with other watches. I had to mention here was, and I mentioned it earlier, was the enthusiasm of the watch community. That really keep you engaged, keep you excited, keep you happy for your choices. Because there were some crazy watches this year. There was a Spider-Man watch. There was some Dragon watch. There were some crazy watches. I didn't see any... Triva Donald Trump this year, or was there?
No, I was assigned one actually from a friend. He wanted me to carry one Triva Donald Trump, But it felt like it was more last year's focus on that one.
Yeah, it was old news.
Exactly. And I have to tell you, there was one participant, he first signed up with a watch with Putin on. But after the war with the Ukraine, he said, oh, it's not nice. I'm not going to wear this. So he switched to G-Shock. Oh, Casio Oak, yeah.
And now when you mentioned this, I had a relevance crisis, if you will. I mean, this is very, it was really, really interesting time because the One Watch Guy March this year was parallel with the war in Ukraine. It was very, very close to the London Watch Show, Watches and Wonders, and AHCI. I honestly struggled to be too excited about sharing my enthusiasm and celebrate the watch I was wearing because of just 2013 kilometers from my house, there was this war raging and, I mean, people fleeing for their lives. It did make me look in like different perspective and also doubt my priorities for a moment. Why do I focus on my watch when there is so much more important things in life? It was just this relevance crisis. But at the same time, I was raising money for charity,
which
kept me grounded.
And we had this discussion, I think it was like 2 weeks into the challenge. We had the discussion whether or not we should change charity organization. We have already reached the limit of what we're the goal what we're expecting to reach for Muscular Spawn, and I had actually a poll at the watch forum Klocksnack whether or not we should change, but the decision was to stick with what we started. There is a lot of charity focusing on Ukraine at the moment, so we thought, okay. A lot of other charity organizations are really suffering right now because they are out of focus.
Exactly. So they're neglected.
And I mean, of course, Ukraine is much, much more important than most of all other initiatives at the moment. But since we started it, we decided to stick with it. And it's been, I mean, it's hard to do fun, not important things when there's a war just around the corner. I mean, it is hard, and but we decided to stick with the shared organization, stick with the whole challenge, and I also tried to, in this community, try to keep the discussions away from political discussion, from these kind of things, because this should perhaps be, or no, I should put it like this. For me, watches is like a safe haven where I go when the rest of the life is, I don't know, say too difficult, but if you work too much, if there is some personal problems or whatever, the watches for me are where I go to sort of
escape space.
Yes, exactly. And I wanted this to be just like that. It could be fun and stupid and everything, but it shouldn't be tainted with the real world problems, sort of.
But back to my experience with the watch for 31 days, because this is my first time.
Yeah.
It was nice. I realized that for 31 days, usually when you buy a watch, you start finding the wrong things. But after 3 days, I start realizing the flaws of the watch that I'm wearing are actually well-designed elements. Mm. There is a reason that is meant to increase ergonomics. It's meant to increase like wearing experience and the way it looks, the way it shines, the way it fits with the bracelet and so on. And I also realized that this watch is part of a concept because this is such a new brand. Even though Voutilainen is the biggest name in Switzerland, this is a new brand with new goals. So this watch, to me, became very evident that this is a appetizer for what's the potential of that brand in the future, because it's such a new brand, new product. And 31 days just made me also partial to the brand that made this leap of faith to put such expensive product after just 3 years on the market. So I actually became attached to the watch in the end. Like on the 25th, 6th day, I actually stopped thinking of other watches because this was my watch now. And also everybody who knows me for extended period of time is aware that I wear the same clothes every day. Mm. Like they are different clothes, don't get me wrong. I wash my clothes, but I have the same type of clothes every day.
Yeah.
It removes decision fatigue. And that's what this watch did. And some people say on the forum, oh, it's like eating the same meal every day, blah, blah, blah. No, it removes this decision fatigue every morning that, okay, I changed only 4 straps for the whole month, but still, it took away so much anxiety in the morning. Which one shall I take with this outfit and so on? And you know what? There are people that buy clothes based on their collection. That blows my mind. Of course, I choose a watch that is fairly versatile. That help.
Mm, it's good.
Sorry, it took too long time for this.
No, it's great. I'm interested also to know. I wish I'd actually collected that information, but to understand where the participators came from. I mean, what countries are actually involved in One Watch Guy? And as you say, Estonia now, of course, Finland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and so on. But we have quite a group from the US. And I also noticed there's one guy from the Philippines participating, which is nice. And so there are a few ones around the world. And that one, I like to, next year perhaps, I should sort of track from the beginning where you are from and have sort of a map of the representative from each country. I think that would be nice. Mm?
What is your reflection?
For me, it is different stages during this month. It starts out with just fun and crazy, and everyone is just enthusiastic to start, and a few falls off quite fast. Could be for different reasons, the watch collapse, or you just don't want to participate, just want to donate like a starting fee or so. Then after 1 week, it starts to get a little bit boring. It's the same watch, and it's still so much time to go. And why did I really do this? Why? It's not so much fun. This is supposed to be a nice hobby, not something you suffer. And then after like half time, you start to see the light. It's still a long way to go. But then the watch that you choose, it starts to grow on you. It's not that bad. It's actually, yes, you gave it the chance, and now it's sort of, I mean, it's quite nice. And in the end, for me at least, the last week, and so it's not a problem. Of course, you're longing for the other watches, and so you start to look around, perhaps I should buy a new watch or something like that. But to actually wear the one I have, not a big problem. I think I didn't switch watch the 1st of April. I switched the 2nd or 3rd. Because it was no big problem to wear the one that I was assigned for the full month. So it goes in different steps during the month. But I have to say, since this is my 4th year of One Watch Guy, and in April it's really nice to go to your collection. You put one on, try it a little bit. No, not today. And you take the next one and so on. It is really nice. And that is what the hobby is about, to get energy and get happy with your watches and perhaps less focusing on buying, selling, value, raise or lose money, blah, blah, blah. This thing is sort of, it's taking away the fun, for me at least, the fun of the watch hobby. So now I have a box full of my old watches that feels like they are new to me again. And that's the best part. So April is nice in that sense.
Which leads me to my last question. Do you still like your watch box? Is anything going away? Is anything coming in?
I think my current collection, I like it. I like it a lot, but I'm always striving to make it a little bit better. It is, it's a little bit like a poison to get that instant kick of buying something new or selling something to be able to get the new thing. that one is always constantly there. But I think my collection is growing in that sense that I now found my structure in my collection, and there are some things that I can fine-tune. I can add one, maybe take away one, or maybe switch one for a better version or stuff like that. But I'm not going to do tons of flipping and change in my collection. It's going to be quite constant, I think. So nothing is going in or out. With that said, I was actually chasing a watch yesterday, so I'm not that truthful to myself, but unfortunately that watch, I didn't manage to buy that one. So I don't know what to say. I try to look at myself as a better person, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm the same old one as I was before.
Well, yeah. I'll ask you in a month.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually looked very differently on my watch collection. It probably was the biggest surprise, to be honest. Mm. Like, my priority somehow shifted. I always wanted to have this 8 to 10 watch collection, but now actually that has really dramatically dropped to 6 watches.
Ah, that is nice.
Yeah.
That is very nice. I like that.
Because why would I have... Okay, I have 3 or 4 that are basically identical watches from different brand that I had the possibility to buy at some point in life. And that some of them I have engraved, so they're going nowhere. They're part of my core collection. And that's the thing. I have a core collection, and I have this kind of flipping part of the collection that can come and go, which is... for me, a way to experience, understand, learn. So, some of those watches probably will go to a family member because they're not in such shape to be sold anymore. But it just made me realize I don't need them. Mm. Which actually, of course, it's a natural thing to do after wearing the same watch for so many days. But this thought all the time in my head that there are people out there that have just one watch and they're happy. What are they focusing on? But then I thought that maybe they have 6 fishing sticks or something else. So maybe I am on a safe side. Who knows?
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. But it makes me happy to hear that you reevaluated your current collection and perhaps downsized it to fewer watches and so on. I will also ask you within a month to see if it's the same.
Please do.
Or if it's, that's good.
Because I have, with time, we're all getting old, but with time I have really realized, back in the day, military watches was my thing. I was the guy to ask about military watches. There is so much information in my head about military watches. It's just silly. But nowadays, Estonia 1918, that's a watch that I draw after. It's like the quality of that watch just blows my mind. The Shiratsu hands. Never in my life I thought I would be excited about set of hands that have this polishing that I actually have to have optics to take a look at, because with my naked eye I cannot see any difference. But that watch with no date window, it excites me so much. The process of designing the case, incredible engineering. That excites me nowadays, which never did before. Before I was like, oh, I want a good lume, I want a tough watch, I want an interesting watch, I want a conversation piece on my wrist so I can talk to people how special I am. You know, that has really shifted. And this just amplified that during these 31 days. I appreciate what's on my wrist. I try to understand what's on my wrist, not just... because understanding and experiences are connected, but they're not the same thing.
But I think that is really important or really interesting. If one watch guy could make you or pick the watches that you like, because I think a lot of us, me included sometimes, is picking watches that I think other people likes.
Yeah.
To get appreciation from other persons.
Exactly.
Because you carry a nice watch that you know that is, well received or so. But to pick watches that makes yourself happy. that must be the perfect...
And reflect with who you are in the stage of life you are in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Any final words?
Well, I'm so happy I got contacted by you prior to the challenge, so that we both, that you could help me find so many nice sponsors, but more that we have had these talks. I like these talks. I like the contact with you. So I'm really, really happy for the friendship that we developed. That's what I would like to say.
Same here. And we'll have more episodes in the future together. I think it's a good relationship. And I know it's a good relationship. And greetings to Denke. I hope he'll be part of it next time. I mean, part of the recording. And thank you for being here today. One last thing for everybody. This is the first time this podcast will be aired both on our channels and podcast, which we have never done before. So let's see how that go.
I mean, I believe in these crossovers, and I think to share and to create together, it's only helping everyone, helping the whole business in cooperating. So it's going to be fun. And
absolutely.
I'm sure that your podcast will find some new listeners, and my podcast will find a lot of new listeners through you. So it's nice.
We have said this many times, our podcast, it's a gift to the watch community. And there is no competition. There is no, we want to be the best. We want to be part of the watch community. Mm-hmm. We want to connect people through horology. And that's our motto. Connect people through horology. Doesn't matter who the people are, if they're a brand, if they're another content creator or another enthusiast. We are here to connect and be excited together about the world of horology and beyond. With that said, until next time, what's beyond horology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, and thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.